these photos. And these are...
Well, thank you very much indeed, Mrs. McPhee, for letting me come and talk to you. It's very kind. And could you just say for the tape, please, your name and date of birth?
My name is Olive McPhee, and my date of birth is 8/10/15.
And I'm John Beckerson, and it's October 1998. I'm currently eating one of Mrs. McPhee's extremely nice scones. Well, could you just tell me a little bit about how you came to get into the boarding house trade? Because I know you came into it at a very interesting time when the war was on. Yes. And there were internees.
That's right. Well, the people who were in it before us wanted to move into a bigger one. And, of course, they had to get somebody to take over the one they were coming out of, because the houses weren't allowed to be left with internees only. So that was it. We made the move then. And that's it. It was July the 4th, 1943.
Yes. And did your friends think you were mad?
Yes, yes. My husband had an auntie and she said, goodness me, they must be mad going into a big house like that with a new baby of 6 weeks. But I never thought I would couldn't manage. But we managed. And the internees left. They were getting, as the war was going on, on they had to go to tribunals, and they were getting released, and the numbers went down quite a lot. When we had quite a number in, of course, we only got 21 shillings per week per adult, and 12 and 6 or something like that for up to 16, and they ate more than the adults, some of them. So as the numbers got down, it really wasn't worth the work. But I didn't do any work. The internees had to do their own work, and a man and wife were on duty for a week, and they had to peel the vegetables, they had to wash the dishes, I had to cook the meal. And they did the work, but they didn't do any of our work, of our place part. So then when after they left, of course, it was couldn't get wallpaper. We had to get the place decorated as best we could and start in 19... when did we start with visitors? Dear, dear. 46.
You said that the first internees you had were Italians.
Yes.
Can you tell me what they were like?
They were quite nice. I liked the Italians, except two females. One, Mrs. Dr. Borghese, and the other one, Mrs. Costantini. But they happened to be two English girls married to Italians, and I could not stand them. And I don't think they could do for me either. But the Italians themselves got on quite well with them.
Where were they from? In England? Some of them were English, you said?
Oh, they all lived in England. That's how they were interned. Yes, they were all living, probably working in England. And we had this Mr. Coppola and Mr. Capaldi. And Mr. Capaldi came back after... we had visitors in 1 year. He came back at the end of the one summer. He wanted to come back because he had four children. The oldest boy could read, write and speak five languages. His two daughters were nurses who trained in Scotland, or in England, I think it was Scotland, because he lived in Edinburgh. And the younger boy was interned in Peel. And he came back because he wanted to see where the son was interned in Peel. So we took him. And he came back, as I say, in after we'd visitors in. But they could have... they'd lived in Edinburgh for 35 years, but as they hadn't changed their nationality, they were interned.
Did any of them tell you about... how they had become interned and what it was like?
No, never spoke about anything like that.
What sort of things would they chat about to you?
Well, very little, really. Very little. They had a wireless, no television, of course. They had a wireless, but the wireless, they could only get British, they could only get one station. They were fixed, that they couldn't get anything else. But we had, dear me, what's her name? We had a man and wife, I've just forgotten her name, and their daughter sang on one of the dance bands, and her name was on that Julie Dawn, and because they were on the other program, probably they'd be on the Forces. Mrs. Mastosi used to ask, and the office told me I had permission to let her come into our sitting room and listen to her daughter singing on this dance band, and I've forgotten which one it was, but her name was Julie Dawn.
How did she feel being imprisoned while she listened to her daughter singing?
So no, she never mentioned it. They weren't very good to speak English because they were older people, and so it was sort of trial and error with them. We didn't bother to learn. So.
Can you remember the day that you first moved into that house and what it was like?
I think it was a Wednesday, and it was the 4th of July, 43. Now, what was it like? Well, the stairs were bare, no carpets on the stairs. They had a carpet in the lounge. There was lino in the dining room. And, the bedrooms were all as the visitors had had them before the war started. We had to provide all the bed linen and the towels.
A lady just knocked at the door.
I don't know what they called it, like American cloth they used to have on tables, just wiped it over. Of course, there was no, what have we got now? No plastic. So
they the government would give you the grey blankets?
Yes, but we had to provide the rest of the stuff, and we had to wash it, and of course the blankets didn't get washed, and then they collected them.
How did you cope with the washing? Because would you have had a washing machine?
No. We had a wash house, and in the wash house there was a boiler which went by coke or coal. I don't know which it went by, actually. But in the wash house as well, we had an independent boiler for the hot water, because after all we had 18 bedrooms, and they had all wash bowls in them, and... Of course, there was no central heating, so they had to have fires only in the lounge, when not in the summertime. In the winter, they were told to give them a fire. I don't know now what the dates would be, but just in the winter they had a fire. But they had to clean the fire, and they had to, keep the coal on it and see to it.
Were they respecting of the house?
Well, we were supposed to be able to go into the bedrooms and see that they were kept fairly clean. Each family did their own rooms, but to get in was terrible. You couldn't. They always had an excuse. And we'd no locks on the bedroom doors, but I never went in unless I was said, yes, I can come in. But it was very, very rare. And then at the end of the, after they went, the wallpaper was quite good. Only some of them had been striking matches on it and had marked it all. So we had to take all the wallpaper up and had to wallpaper the walls because there was no wallpaper to buy.
You said that after the Italians left, you had German Jews.
Yes.
When did they come?
Oh, well, I couldn't remember, actually.
1944, maybe?
We went in 43. They all left in 45, so it might have been... Well, I have no idea, really. Perhaps 43.
Did you just have the Italians for a little while, or was it mostly Italians and just a short time of Germans, or a short time of Italians?
I think the Italians were in shorter than when we had the German, most of them were German Jews.
So what was it like when they came?
Oh, shocking. they went... They knew what they were allowed, and they got every inch that they were allowed. Yes, they were. And they didn't work like the Italians. The Italians, as I said, they man and wife did the work for a week. You know, the brushing and the laying the tables and clearing the tables and washing the dishes. But the Italians wouldn't cooperate at all. They were one lot family fighting against the other. But they were terribly difficult. And I suppose, with me being young, they'd take advantage of me or tried to. But
what sort of things would they try on?
Well, they would, you know, well, we want that. We want so much of that. I don't know. They were awfully awkward. And, they weren't very nice. I can't even remember. Well, I suppose you see that we had these Scottish people, the people who had lived in Scotland. Well, they were all right. They were elderly, and they realised that they were interned. It was the younger people that were very bitter. And then they were sort of taking it out, trying to take it out of us. It had nothing to do with us. They were interned, and that was the end of it. But on the whole, they had quite a nice time because they used to go down on the beach and... there, sunbathe all summer, and...
And what would you be doing to try and keep the house running?
Well, I had to do the catering and buy all the stuff for the internees and had to cook. They had breakfast, which was cereal or porridge and toast and... tea, but the Italians mostly drank coffee, so I had plenty of tea because I was able to draw their tea ration, and we would like very, very weak tea, so we'd far more tea than we needed for ourselves, and they had to have a dinner. They had to have a two-course dinner. They had to have dinner and a pudding, and in I don't think they had a cup of tea in the morning. In the afternoon, I had to give them tea and a bun or a scone, or just one thing. And then they had an evening meal. I can't remember what they used to have in that now. But...
Did you find that there was enough food, or did they complain?
No, I don't think they ever complained. I suppose they might have gone to the office and said something. But any complaint that the office had, they would always come and ask me for my opinion, you see, before they would say, oh, well, they said this and you didn't give them enough. Or, but, you see, meat was rationed. What wasn't rationed? Sugar, butter, marge, tea, meat, bacon.
How did you stretch the rations to get as much food as possible?
This is a job to remember. They, how much now sugar did we get each per week? So I had to give the internees half the sugar ration and I had the other half for cooking. And there'd be trouble over that. They'd be, oh, well, that's not enough. Well, that's all you're getting. I mean, I suppose if they got that much to last them a week, I can't remember what the rations were now.
About 6 or 8 ounces.
Yeah, I suppose half, yes, be 8 ounces, I suppose. So I had to have 4 of them to cook. You know, that was sort of the difficult. But you see, bread, there was plenty of bread and plenty of margarine. Margarine wasn't rationed until about 43 in the Isle of Man. But people were coming over from England and taking a lot back so that we were rationed. But until then, I think it was about 43, November 43, before we were rationed on marge. So we had plenty of margarine. But of course, we were rationed on butter, 2 ounces per person per week.
So would you be doing all the cooking by yourself, or did you have a girl to help
No,
you?
I did all the cooking. The internees had to prepare the vegetables, potatoes and the vegetables, and I just had to cook it, and I can't remember how. The ones who were on duty, the Italians, they must have come into the kitchen and helped to serve it out. I can't remember that part. But I had to cook it.
So when you went in 1943, what was in your mind as for your hopes? Were you hoping that the war would end soon and that you'd get the trade back?
Yes, of course. Otherwise, I mean, you had to live in hope, hadn't we? We didn't realise it was going to take 6 years. Well, it wasn't 6 years. Well, we weren't in it 6 years with internees, so... And they all left at, they all went by September, what year am I talking about, 46, and then we had visitors the next Easter.
Did the government help you to get the house back into readiness or not?
No. They allowed us coupons to buy towels, because the internees had used the towels. They gave us coupons. But we had to buy them, we had to pay for them. And I think that was about all. I had to sort of get on with it and make the best of it. But of course, as the visitors realised that things were hard for them and things had been hard for us. So I think the visitors were very understanding, really.
What were the challenges that you particularly had to face to get the house ready, the hardest things?
Well, I suppose it was getting it decorated. As I say, we didn't have paper, we had to colour wash it. And of course we had all the... crockery, because an awful lot of the crockery was broken. And so, as we had not been in business before the war, the people who moved out of the Waverley said to us, well, if you want to put an order in, and I've forgotten who it was now, a firm in, I think it was in Stockport area, that did crockery for boarding houses, but it was plain white. Nothing else. So they said, well, you won't be able to get crockery, but if you put your order with ours, we'll put it in with our lot. So that's how we got crockery. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had been able to start. And we just plain white, well, I've had this since. Then when patent things came in, we got this. You see, it's thick, it's hotel ware. So that was a good help to us, because otherwise I don't know what we'd have done.
Can you remember the first season after the war, what it felt like and who was coming, what the atmosphere was like?
Oh, the atmosphere was lovely. It was, you know, the people were sort of thankful that the war was over. Oh, I better not. So thankful that the war was over. And of course nobody went abroad, because the men who came home from the war, they didn't want to go to the continent, they'd had enough. And of course you couldn't go wrong with visitors. So
did you have to advertise in newspapers, or did
well,
you just...
Well, we did, but we found the newspapers wasn't any use, and all we advertised in was the Isle of Man
guide,
yes. That's all we advertised in. The only thing about it was the staff was a problem. See, it was only a short season, and you couldn't get Manx girls because they wanted jobs all the year round. And we used to advertise for staff. We'd staff from Scotland, we'd staff from Eire, we'd staff from Northern Ireland. Some good, some terrible. But you had to put up with it.
So when would you take your staff on? What month?
Oh, I suppose we took them on end of May. And up to that, I suppose I could manage. Oh, you said earlier about the washing of the sheets and that. Well, a cousin of mine, she came one day a week and put the boiler, well, we put the boiler on, and all the sheets and towels were, well, they wouldn't all go in one go, were put into the boiler, and they were dried and ironed and aired and put back on the beds whenever, you know, the next week.
So family would be, you'd have a bit of family to help maybe?
Well, she was a cousin who had two children, and her husband had died at the beginning of the war. He wasn't in the war, but he had died from an illness. And of course, she had no help, so she was glad of one. She came one day, sometimes she'd come 2 days a week, that was all, and do the washing.
And all through this, your husband was at the market garden?
Yes. He grew all our vegetables, because he was in a reserved occupation and he wasn't allowed to grow flowers. And before we went into the Waverley, his sister used to come down. Her husband was in the Navy, and she used to come down and into the garden, and we would plant out about 20,000 leek plants, and they were about that big, just like a blade of grass. And we used to plant them after they'd been in the greenhouse out into cold frames, because you could sell anything if it was a vegetable. He wasn't allowed to grow flowers, but he grew vegetables to sell, because everybody would come, even if they're only getting 25 leeks or onions or a couple of dozen cabbages this size to plant out. So you could sell anything then.
And that helped you to have his fresh vegetables?
Yes. We had fresh vegetables. So we scratched along, I suppose.
Was he growing vegetables during the war? Did that help?
Oh, yes. He did grow the vegetables, because he'd been in market gardening, and he wasn't allowed to grow flowers in the wartime. Only in the war. After that, he'd grow what he liked. Yes. So
would you tell him, I want some of this vegetable for the season, and get him to plant it, or did he run his own thing?
Oh, well, he would grow like carrots and turnips and potatoes, and he used to grow peas as well, but I don't think the internees got many of the peas, because the locals were always after the peas, the nicer vegetables. It's a job to remember now, but Si.
So after the war, you had to set about getting the house right.
Yes, and getting the advertised for visit for visitors, and then the first year we had, I think it was the first year, two girls from Scotland, and they were very nice, very, very, more like ourselves. Some shockers from Ireland. Had some nice ones from Ireland too, but the Southern Ireland ones, I don't know. One with two cousins, and I've forgotten what Florrie was one. I've forgotten what the other one's name was. And she said, "Oh, I'll have to go home." She said, "Back home, because my sister's little boy has drowned in the Liffey." So, oh dear, we said, "Very sorry." And she'd hardly any clothes, so we give her clothes to go back, because she was only going to be a few days, a week at the most. Paid her airfare to Dublin, paid her return fare back, and we're still waiting for her. Never saw her again. And yeah. The other girl that stayed with her, with us, Florrie, who was her cousin or friend, Florrie said afterwards, "No," she said, "a nephew didn't drown." Well, just fancy saying that and getting away with it. So you had to, you know, had some terrible times like that. And we depended on them. And we used to try and get two friends, because they both had single beds, but they both shared the same bedroom. So it was no use getting strangers that were going to kick up a noise. And then when you did get friends, or if one went, two went. So you were left high and dry.
Did you ever have people walk out on you?
Visitors or the staff?
Staff,
yes. I would be getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and there'd be no sign of the staff getting up. My husband went up to call them. The room was empty. They'd gone. We never heard them going. And my husband went all the way to as far as Ballasalla. Thought, well, he can't. And it was a Sunday morning. Now, we didn't know, but there'd been a boat up, bus up early. And how they found out, because we didn't know, and they'd got up early, probably packed the night before, and off down to Port Erin to the bus station. And that's why we couldn't find them, because they'd gone. And we were talking to one of the bus conductors, he was then, and we were saying, "Oh," he said, "yes, they got on the bus and they'd about a bottle of milk each." They'd taken a bottle of milk out of the fridge each. So that's the sort of things we had to put up.
Did you ever have any staff who were really good, real treasures?
Oh, yes, yes. The first two we had from Dalbeattie. As a matter of fact, there's a man now, and he lives in Ballabeg. I was talking to him, he said, now the name is gone from me. Was asking for you. "Oh, dear me," I said, "they were the first ones we had from Dalbeattie." He said, "Yes, that's right." And his wife had come from that area, and this was only in the summertime, he was saying to me, that they are asking about you. Yes.
So how many staff would you have?
We only had two staff sleeping in, but then I would try and get well, this person who used to come when we'd internees, she came and did the washing, and she did other things as well, because she came and worked all day, every day, except Sundays. She didn't come on Sundays. And so she would be helping me in the kitchen. And being older than me, I mean, I could leave her with things. So I'd say, "Well, just keep an eye on the potatoes, or just keep an eye in the oven if I wanted to do something else." So, and then we served breakfast at 9 o'clock, and we served lunch at 1. We served dinner, well, latterly, which was at 6 p.m., and then we served supper and I had two nieces coming to do supper every night. I always baked scones or whatever they were having, and cake, and they used to have to cut the scones and butter them and lay the trolley, and that was served in the lounge, and that was from 10 till 10:45. And then they were cleared up and washed up and went home.
Did you always have full board the whole time you had it from right up to 1976, or did you change your routine for what meals you gave?
No. Now, we didn't have visitors till 19...
Oh, yes, sorry, you didn't have visitors till 46.
Yes, we finished with the visitors in
in the mid-1970s. Say you
probably
finished with visitors.
73 we finished. Yes, 73 we'd finished. That's the last year we'd visitors. And because we were expecting to come in here in 74.
In your bungalow.
And we didn't get in till 76. So that was the last year we'd visited.
What changed over the years that you had the house?
Well, we used to give them full board. Because in those days, the hotels, they didn't do meals like they do today. And there was only one cafe in Port Erin, and they shut at 5:30. Well, I mean, people wanted a meal later than that. So, of course, we had to do full board. At one time, we used to do afternoon tea, but not supper. And then I moved it to supper, because I'd bake and the people would go down Port Erin at 2:00. Well, they had to be back again at 4:00 for afternoon tea. So they wouldn't come. The stuff was all waste. I had to bake the next day fresh scones. They never got them the second day. And so we decided, well, we'll put it to supper, because they've got to come in. And if they want the supper, they can come in at 10:30 and get it. But not after 10:45, because I had to let the girls go. So that's... And then I think about the last year, we decided give them bed and breakfast and dinner, and lunch was optional. And they had to order the lunch, and that was an extra for them. But the supper, they still got the supper.
Where would your visitors come from?
I could have shown you the visitors' books. I've got them there and all over.
I'd like to see that,
yeah. Go and get them now.
We'll get it afterwards.
Yes. Well, all over in England, anywhere, yes.
Even, you have regulars?
Yes, we have a family here. He has since died. And they were the very first visitors we had in 46. And we still write to her, and we also had a family in 46, but that was in probably end of July, because they had children. Well, they had a boy too, but they came at Easter, and then they came again, always in the summer. And still hear from this other family. Their daughter's gone to America to live. I don't know how long she's ever after she got married. She went, and
How would the season turn? When would it start quietly, and when would it build up the busiest period?
Well, the busiest period, of course, was in the school holidays, because all the people wanted to come then. But we never liked Easter and Whit early. We'd get people in at Easter, but you wouldn't get many. And then if Easter was early, that made Whit early. And then we'd have people in at Whit, and perhaps didn't have an awful lot, but they would be going. And then there was an in-between period. You might only have about 4 in the house, it dragged on. But when Whit was late, we felt the summer had started, and they kept going. And, you were into it. But it was awful when there was only 2 in, and then we'd get another 2, and the first 2 would be going. And It was, you know, dragged on then, if WIT was early. But we started always at WIT. Sometimes we used to have visitors at Easter. And at first, we were delighted to have visitors at Easter. But as the years went on, I thought, we won't get many, and it's not worth, really, unless you had a good number. It wasn't. Otherwise, I had to do all the work. I had to go and make the beds, clean the bedrooms, and do the stairs, do the bathroom, the toilets, and the lounge, the dining room. I had to do all the work as well as the cooking. So we found it didn't really pay for the amount of work I had to do. So we stopped having them at Easter, yes. So then at one time you could be full for the first 2 weeks in September, and we'd take 34 in when we were full. But then it got that, then it would go on till the end of September, just finishing. But then it got, we had a job to fill till the end of August. Then, because people then began to go abroad.
When did you first notice that change starting to happen?
Oh, well, I don't really. I could perhaps have an idea by the visitor's book, but I suppose it'd be August they'd be starting to fall off.
And what sort of year would that change happen? That, you know, when you started to think the trade's not what it was.
Well, it was when people got to go abroad again after the war. Of course, they didn't want to go abroad. They'd had enough, the men, I suppose. And, of course, people didn't go abroad. It was when they started to go abroad. I don't know when that would be. I've never been out of England. I've been to Ireland or Scotland, but that's all. And so...
Can you tell me about how did you improve the house over the years, and what changes did you bring in, and how did you make it your own? Things like hand basins, because you said in the war they just had jugs and basins.
Oh, no, they had wash bowls. Running water in the bedrooms, yes.
And did it have electricity when you moved?
Oh, yes. They had, the people before us put the wash bowls in, and, but, you see, after the war, the carpets and things got bit threadbare, and we had a big expenditure to try and get the house up, and that kept us several years going, improving it every year. I realised at the end what we should have done is borrowed the money and improved it in one go, instead of doing a bit at a time. Yes. In the end, we bought a dishwashing machine. Oh, my word, that. But we only had it that a few years, because it was quite expensive to buy. But my word, it was a marvellous thing.
That would be in the late 1960s you got that, maybe.
Yes. Mm. I think that might have been what it was, wouldn't it?
Yes, I think it is. Mm. Yeah. So I know the government sometimes gave loans to boarding house keepers, so you never took one of those?
The only loan we took, no, we didn't. That the only loan, we were given a letter at the end of one summer, and we had to have fire escapes. Well, we hadn't the money at the winter time to put but the government give you the money, and you paid it back so much per annum. And that's the only thing we ever borrowed from the government.
How did yourself and your other friends in the trade feel about the government and about the tourist board and what they did or didn't do for the landladies?
Well, I suppose they you might have been able to get things, but I thought, I don't want anything hanging over my head that I feel I can't pay for. I'd rather struggle on and get so much each year. That's how we managed every year. But the tradespeople were very good to us. We'd say, we want this new or we want that new, but we haven't got the money to pay for it until the summer, you see. And they'd say, that's all right.
Hello.
This is... Mr. and I've forgotten.
Ferguson. Just call me John, it's okay.
Oh, John. This is the man. There's
he's quite a young man. Yes. He's much older.
Well, do you want me to go? Well, these are the first have I done with a little envelope? Oh, there. That's it. These are the first guests we had. And that was Easter 46. Yes, Easter 46. And those two girls, one of them, they came from Liverpool, and one of them was in the Wrens, and she came, of course, they had to come by boat, and she was terribly sick. She was saying, oh, and I'd been in the Wrens. And the other family are the Inmans. There's Marjorie and Arthur and Derek. Now, he was about 8 then when he came.
Yes, and Derek.
I'll show him in the end. Oh. Now, here's some of the lads. That's Derek. That's our boy. And there's other, I don't know, can't remember the other visitors. That's on the bottom at the steps.
I can see they've all been fishing. Did the visitors like to fish?
Pardon?
Did the visitors like to fish?
Oh, yes, all the time. There's something on the back of it written. See, I can't read that without specs.
Dick and Graham.
Oh, Derek and Graham. Yes. And that's the Inmans again, and Graham, that's our boy. And these are all Inmans. And that's them on the Moorock Park and Ramsey, and this is outside the Waverley.
So the Inmans were a family you particularly made friends with?
Yes, they were the very first visitors we had. And Derek did very well at school, and he went into Dartmouth Naval College, and that's him. And then he got married, and he was out in Bahrain. And that's him. And here he is now. Turn it over the back.
A judge, most impressive.
Yes. Mm. That's the Derek Inman and his wife. And that's Derek, and that's his mother. Now she's grey, like the rest of us at our age. And that's her family. She only had Derek. Those are all rest of her family.
Do you ever remember the visitors getting up to any particular hijinks, having a joke?
The visitors weren't bad, were they?
Oh, no, they were well-behaved, except once we had an occasion to have joined rooms and they were drinking.
Oh, yes. And one of the staff was down with them too, so the next morning she got told to go.
So they'd be drinking and...
Yes, making a noise at night in the bedrooms.
Was drink a problem? Was that one of the
things?
No.
We're teetotal. and there's just some young ones that had got in. And, well, not got in, but were staying, and they'd got girl, forgotten what her name was now, doesn't matter. And she was then making a noise, you see. This would be at 11, half past 11.
Yeah, it's mostly families we had.
Yes.
Did you discourage single young people?
We didn't discourage them, but we were limited to single bedrooms. So, of course, the house didn't do for single. Lots of single ones, because it meant that you had to give them two double rooms. Well, that was a bit of a loss if you could fill them with two people instead.
How many rooms did you have to have filled to make it worth your while to run the house, would you say?
Oh, well, we had 15, 16, 17. At one time when our family were young, we four slept in one room in the summer, and we had 17 bedrooms then to let. And there were, after 17, there were three of them with single beds only in. And up on the top floor where we slept, there were two single rooms which went to our family after when they got older. And we'd always get, could always get a couple in that, two singles in there. But that was about all. Because
how many visitors would you have to make it worthwhile to run the place without losing money?
I don't know.
That's hard to
see, though. Yes. You see, we had you'd be full in July and August of, I can't even remember. Well, I've got a couple of them.
After the war, when we first summer or so.
Oh, first few summers.
We before right out to the second week in September. But gradually it
dwindled off because dwindled more people, off. I was saying, went abroad then.
Yes, started the going abroad, like they are now.
So it was pretty, it was hard to fill
in August
yeah. even. They'd be dropping off the second week in August.
So we decided to pack up in 1973.
Three was the last time we'd visited. Yeah.
And when you got the house, did you always rent it or did you buy it at one point along the way?
Yes, we bought it as we went along. Yes.
So you'd have a mortgage?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, the people that went out of it left money in it. Oh, and then we had to get another mortgage from somebody else.
Was it a good price to be buying in 1943? Did that help?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. yes.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Property hadn't started to rise.
It was a courageous decision to go in at that time.
Oh, it was for us. We were really young. What age were you?
I was 27. You were
27.
You were 30 then.
30. But we had already decided to...
Oh, I forgot that, yes. We went into Olive Mount before we went into there. But we were only 6 weeks in there. Left.
We had the opportunity.
To go into a bigger house.
Bigger house.
So we took it. And I think it was a good move, really, because this other house had had how many, 7 bedrooms only, and the people who went out took all the furniture, you see. Well, I don't know how we'd ever got started. But when we went into the Waverley, the people left. All they took out was their own personal